Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up that stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well. We already have a beer flight sitting for this next guest. Pull up a stool, John, and join us at the Main Street Pub. How you doing, Johnny?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. We're doing good. We got you Irish coffee. We're recording this morning.
Yeah. Wait a little bit.
We all do. Afternoon, right?
Yeah, you got it.
You don't do the whole it's 12 o'clock somewhere, do you?
Yeah, generally, no. So.
No, generally. The key word in there is generally.
Well, there are certain situations. I figure the flea market, Disney, deep sea fishing, golf course, you can drink anytime you want. So.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, I pretty much, I'm a nooner. Back in the day with the spring break and all, we used to wake up and eat beer and the Cheerios to kind of bite the dog back that bit you.
Oof, but that's a little rough.
Yeah, well, it works. It has to be ice cold, though.
Yeah.
Can't be a little bit warm. But that's neither here nor there. Are you guys ready to talk some Disney this week?
Absolutely.
Ready to go.
Yep, we have a lot of news to talk about, and we'll have some fun, guys. You ready?
Ready,
Freddy. Let's do it.
Start us off, Danny.
Sure. Let's see here. PhotoPass comes to Frozen Ever After with an on-ride photo. Disney's latest ride, Frozen Ever After at Epcot's Norway Pavilion, now features an on-ride photo opportunity with PhotoPass. To preview, purchase, and download your Frozen Ever After photo, you must be wearing a magic band during your ride. Your photo will be automatically associated to your My Disney Experience account, where it can be viewed at MyDisneyPhotoPass.com or in the My Disney Experience mobile app alongside all of your images from Disney PhotoPass service. Images can be purchased individually or can be included as part of the Memory Maker package. This is, pretty much the same thing they offer like at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. It's pretty cool. All of a sudden, you'll look through your pictures, and if you were wearing your magic band, ride photo will show up. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Now, I like the idea of this. You know how many pictures that camera takes a day? Wonder how often they have to replace that camera.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands, if not more.
Think about it, it's going off every couple minutes.
Yeah, well, every guest has a magic band, so, even in your own little train car there, right, there's... What?
Well, the one boat. What, don't they get everybody's on the same, or is it? I forget. Is it closed up to you?
No, it was.
It's the whole boat car. Yeah. So I think it's one per vehicle.
Right, but still, that's an awful lot.
Absolutely. No, well, you were trying. I was thinking maybe there was something more they're doing here, Dan. That's the only reason I was making. Trying to correct you.
Yeah.
I was just making sure I still knew it was the whole car, and it wasn't like now. I mean, who knows? Another year or two, it might be individual. They'll shoot right at your band.
Yeah. I mean, the technology probably will advance, and they'll be able to do that, get a little closer. But, now I'm thinking back to the last Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. It was the whole car. But the way they do it, it does seem pretty personalized. I mean, that's pretty good considering all the people that go through the, queue line in an hour, right?
Oh, it's cool. They know where you are. The good thing is if somebody tries to blame you something and you're on Disney property at the time, you got proof you were there now with the way these magic bands track you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some people get freaked out by that, though. It's like, I don't like the fact they know where I am and what I'm doing at all times, but they certainly do. And if you're thinking about doing something crazy on property, you might want to think twice, because the eye in the sky is watching.
Well, I like it, like we said on an earlier show. I love the idea that it gets to the point where, if God forbid one of your kids get away, you could track it right on the with your magic band. I'm hoping that they'll be able to do that. I think it would be good if you're down there with your, like us with our godson, or you're eventually down with your grandchildren and stuff like that. If God for one of them get loose, they'd be able to say where they were or be able to find them because of the band.
I still find it pretty amazing. Like, I think back to when I was a kid. You ever get lost, like, in a department store, and your mother and father might have taken you or something, and they'd make the announcement over the loudspeaker, you know, so-and-so come to the courtesy desk or something like that. Think of how many times kids must get lost at Disney World, and you never hear a peep about it because of the way they do it. I mean, if they announced it, like I just said, you'd hear nothing but announcements all day, so that's not a viable option. But, I mean, the fact that kids must get lost or disoriented or confused, and you know, Disney has a way with their undercover security team and cast members that, you know, there's a happy ending to each story, and that the, you know, the kids are reunited with their parents, because you never hear, at least, you know, knock on wood, of, you know, kid got lost and they never found them. You know, it's always it always works out.
We found the kid there one time over at Hollywood Studios. He was just bawling his eyes out, standing there by one of the benches. You know, one of those deals.
Yep.
Me and my wife, I spotted him. My wife goes, "What?" So we walked over, and we ended up taking him over by the Brown Derby at the end of the boulevard with the Tower
Sunset.
Towers on? Sunset.
Yeah.
Where at the end it's there was like a DVC area there used to be there.
Yep.
And we took the kid there, and they ended up finding his parents, and the parents came because we hung out until... But he was really wrecked. He was probably about 7, 8 years old, and
yep.
He'll never run away again. I did it one time in a store, and I'm back from the day where you did something wrong, you got your butt whooped.
Yep.
And I remember one time I went and hid inside the clothes. You ever know about they had the round clothes rack?
Yeah, rounders, yeah.
Yeah, I hid inside there, and it was the first and the last time. My mom gave me what for, and then some, and... I never left her side after that. You know, I don't know about you guys, but my mom didn't play games. My mom was the one I was scared of, not my dad.
You know, looping back to Disney, I mean, I remember, like, when we first started going, and, you know, especially my daughter, the younger of my two kids. I mean, I remember, like, in the afternoon leaving the Magic Kingdom, and that's what it was. It was raining, so everybody was in yellow raincoats. Mostly. I mean, a couple people had the clear ones, but for the most part, everyone had the, you know, the yellow ones you buy at the stores. And, you know, it happened to my daughter. She got disoriented because, you know, she fell behind us a couple of steps, and then, you know, somebody cut in front of her, and, you know, next thing you know, she's looking up at this sea of yellow, and it was hard to tell, you know, particularly with the rain ponchos on, who was who. And, you know, she lost us for only ended up being a few seconds or whatever it was. But, you know, for that few seconds, it was scary for her and us. But you can see how easily it can happen, especially in a place like Disney World with wall-to-wall people like that.
Yeah. My wife stresses over my mother-in-law. We've lost her a couple times in the major crowds. Like, you know, you don't take much to get pulled apart.
No.
I mean, she's only a couple steps from us, and it's like, where's mom? Where's mom? Where's mom?
Yep. Yeah, but I mean, it's crazy, but yeah, maybe this you know, this technology will get enhanced and be able to, you know, in real time tell where somebody is at any given time with different sensors or whatever they have at different parts of the park.
Well, at least with the sensors now, you're scanning every time you go on a ride. So at least if a kid's lost, they could probably track his band and say the last ride he was on was Mine Train.
Right. Right.
You know, so,
get your general area of where to look, you know.
Yes. So what were you going to say, Johnny?
I was going to say I was standing on the bus, like Dennis's story, I was standing on the bus one time with everybody had their ponchos on and stuff, and we all looked pretty much alike, and all of a sudden I felt a little hand in my hand, looked down, and there was a little boy holding my hand. I'm like, and he looked up, and he went, oh, grabbed his dad was standing on the other side of him, so.
Poor kid probably had to go to therapy.
Yeah, and that's a funny thing, too. Not a funny thing, but I guess an oddity about Disney World, like the story you told, Doug. I mean, if you did what you did out in the real world, I mean, you know, people might have been skeptical as to what your motives were. You know, like at Disney, that's a pretty natural thing that, you know, any responsible adult would do what you did and, you know, help the kid out. And, you know, but if you were back home or something, you know, you'd think twice about doing that because, you know, you never know what people might think or say or accuse you of, you know, in doing something like that.
Absolutely. If it was out in the open like that, if I would find the store manager or something like that immediately, or if it's out in the parking lot or something, I would call the cops immediately.
Yeah.
So.
different story in the real world.
Absolutely. But yeah, I hope these bands can track you, because I, you know, when I'm at Disney World, I got nothing to hide. I don't care if people find out that I'm at the Abracadabra Bar all day and then head over to Muddy Rivers and have a nightcap at the boathouse.
Right.
I don't care. I'm on vacation. So
exactly.
There's nowhere I could be on property I'm going to get in any trouble or anybody's going to judge me for anyway.
Yeah,
so
and
track me.
Right. And just think about, I mean, I don't think Disney, well, they probably do. I just don't see it. But, you know, like other companies or whatever would use that information to tailor things, like you just mentioned two bars. You know, if you were back in the real world or whatever, somehow you'd start getting coupons in the mail for, you know, a free appetizer at this particular bar or whatever, because they know you frequent those locations. I don't think Disney does that, but, you know, that information can be used in so many different ways, which is why people, or some people, don't like companies in general getting their information. Like, you know, when you check out at a department store, they'll ask you for your zip code or your area code or whatever. Again, they're always trying to tie you to different information so that they can tailor, you know, coupons or, you know, ways to get you back in their store to buy more stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, hopefully it finds out that they're tracking and there's not a lot of people getting on Primeval World, so they get rid of it.
Yeah, we can only hope. Let's see.
What's up next?
Yeah, Disney is considering Uber-like guest-paid transportation service around Walt Disney World. According to recent surveys sent to guests staying at Walt Disney World resort hotels, Disney is considering guest-paid transportation services. Responding to the popularity of services such as Uber and Lyft, Disney's survey describes its service as Disney's direct transportation service would be a guest-paid car or van service designed to provide on-property guests with direct route to and from their home resort to and from another resort on property during the length of stay of their vacation. It then goes on to ask questions about offering this service to parks, Disney Springs, and the airport. Disney conducts many surveys about various plans and concepts, many of them never see the light of day. However, it is interesting to see that Disney is exploring this type of service, giving guests another option in place of the busy complimentary transportation. To me, this is pretty interesting, and I know I'm a big advocate of cabs, and of late, I haven't used Uber, but that's the big thing now, and I guess it is a bit cheaper than cab service, but I could see where Disney would want to get in on this and get a piece of the pie, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that I find funny is, and I don't know how this works because I've never used it because I always have a car with me, is I wonder how Uber gets into your resort though to pick you up. Like a cab is a cab, and I'm sure they're registered with the park.
Well, it says Uber-like service, so my guess is it wouldn't be Uber. It would be Disney's version of Uber, whatever.
But people are using Uber now is my point. I wonder how they get in to pick you up. If you're just like Marianne using the minivan this week, she's working Uber, and she gets the call because she lives in, you know, Kissimmee, and she's working that day to take you from Riverside to the boardwalk. How is she getting in your resort to pick you up?
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, as long as you have your driver's license, you can almost pull into any resort. We had a friend staying out at the All Stars a couple of weeks ago, and we just show your driver's license at the when you go through the security check-in and tell them you're going to go see a friend, and no problem, you're right in. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, you know, I always tie everything back to food, but it's the same thing with the pizza delivery. I mean, they're not officially sanctioned by Disney, like Flipper's Pizza and all them, but they deliver to the resorts. They can't go to the rooms, but they let them go to the lobbies of all the resorts now. So anybody can deliver a pizza to Disney. All you got to say is a guest called me and I'm dropping off a pizza.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to put that out there, because, like, I've always done it because I've had my park pass on me, you know, my room key and stuff like that. Yeah. And I know when I move down there, I know locals go to the different hotels and stuff like that. But I wonder if eventually Disney will be saying Uber ain't allowed in because of they're not licensed the way that cabs are and stuff. I wonder if they're going to try to curtail Uber so they could use their own.
Yeah, it could. That's a good point. It could be a liability issue. You don't know who has insurance or doesn't, and if somebody was to hit a guest, what impact that would have, or what responsibility Disney would have for that. So that could be an angle. Because you're right, there's no control over the driver. It's, at least under the Uber model, it's anybody that, you know, they get vetted, I'm assuming, to be an Uber driver, right?
Yeah, I know they do background checks and the whole nine yards, but like, and this is perfect. My godson does it. He does it for, you know, he's getting married and all, and he has a couple kids, and he does construction with us. But on rainy days or days we get slow or nights and weekends, he's close to the local college. Okay. So he does Uber for the college kids. And he'll roam around the local town and stuff like that, picks them up when they're a little under the weather, if you guys know what I'm saying. But I could actually, he has the account with Uber. Who's to stop him from just giving his cell phone to his brother and let him go pick somebody up?
Right.
You know, I mean, I know they background check you in the whole nine yards, but how do the people know? Because I've never used it. How do they know who the driver actually is or what he looks like?
I think when you use it, I haven't used it either, but I thought I had read that they, when you pull it up, it pulls up a picture of the driver and the car. So you
yeah,
know
I
what
thought the... I knew the car came up, but I didn't know the driver did itself.
Yeah.
So they're just questions I'm asking to know myself, you know, to put out there for people. You know, so you know, I don't know how it totally works, but you, like Dennis says, you got to make sure you don't know who you're definitely getting. You don't know who you're getting with a cab either sometimes. You know, you just got to take faith in your own hands. But the point of it is I'm sure Disney's looking at – the Disney main angle is, man, people are using this now. How can we get in on this?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I would imagine the I don't know if the cabbies are
– Yeah, they're licensed
there,
and everything.
You got to believe – Oh, I know they're licensed, but yeah. I mean, they got to not very happy about this because that's going to take a lot of business away from those folks.
Oh yeah, well I know New York City's up in arms over Uber.
Oh yeah,
happy up there, big time.
Absolutely, but hey, I look at this as a good thing. I mean, you know, if those of us that don't have a car that fly into Orlando, I mean, it's a great thing. In fact, we just. Last time we were there, we rented a car for one day, and we were just talking about it the other night. That's probably what we're going to do to make a grocery store run once we get into town. And, you know, maybe checking into Uber might be the better option, the cheaper option.
Yeah, I mean, myself, I just love having the car there. But and I don't know how to tour without it. I'd feel like I was handicapped without my car.
Yeah, I mean, you're so used to your way, yeah. you know, touring ways now.
Tour.
Yeah, so it'd be hard not to have it.
What day
the
of the...
I'm sorry, go ahead,
John. I was going to say, Dennis, what day of the week are you coming in on?
Tuesday, I believe.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, if it would have been the weekend, it wouldn't be a problem.
You
ah,
get your own
okay.
personal shit. Well, maybe you could take it back to the airport, then.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk, John.
Okay. Okay. But the point I was going to make is the other thing that is good about Uber, too, is they have a restriction on what your car you can have. And the quality of it. And the other thing is there's a direct way for you to comment on the guy that took care of you. With a cab, they don't care how they treat you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, in some cabs when I was younger that I wanted to, you know, give what to the driver. They were so ignorant. The cab smelled like God only knows what. At least with Uber, you can get on the app and actually comment or have a response and actually... If people get enough negative, they aren't allowed to do it anymore. There are standards.
Right, and so. Yeah, hey, that's kind of like this self-policing, you know, the fact yeah. that a driver could probably get more business if he's, you know, he or she is a driver that gets a lot of accolades and a lot of compliments as opposed to somebody that gets a lot of complaints. You know, I'm sure that's directly related to how many calls they get or how many fares they pick up or whatever you call them. And so, yeah, that's a great way to regulate, you know, the drivers and keep getting the better of the drivers, I guess, right?
Yeah, because the last thing you want is a miserable Waldorf in the back of the car.
Yeah.
What's up next, brother?
Let's see here. I think we mentioned this last week, but a little more information. Guy Fieri joins forces with the new Planet Hollywood Observatory at Disney Springs. Celebrity chef Guy Fieri is partnering with the new Planet Hollywood Observatory to create a burger and sandwich menu for the relaunched restaurant. Robert Earle, the entrepreneur, restaurateur, and star of the cooking channel's Robert Earle's Be My Guest, reached out to Fieri because of their shared passion for food. In addition to the section of the menu designed by Fieri, the Planet Hollywood Observatory will soon reveal the entire new menu. Guy Fieri has created an impressive culinary empire and has built an incredible TV following with several food-themed shows, so it was a no-brainer to invite him to create a special menu for Planet Hollywood Observatory. This partnership only furthers our commitment to refresh our guest experience while continuing to offer freshly prepared, pleasing dishes, said Planet Hollywood International founder and chairman Robert Earle. Fieri, a chef, entrepreneur, and New York Times best-selling author, has created dishes such as the primetime American Kobe-inspired burger and the turkey picnic sandwich, a perfect accompaniment to Planet Hollywood's hand-dipped milkshake. It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome to be working with Robert Earle and the Planet Hollywood team, states Fieri. For the Planet Hollywood Observatory, I'm bringing a big-time burger and sandwich menu to real-deal flavors for everyone. The Planet Hollywood Observatory is currently under construction and is expected to open in the fall of 2016 in the town center. No, I'm only kidding. It's not in the town center.
I know you are.
Figured I'd say that because every place else is in the town,
in the town center.
Yeah, it's where it was before and still is.
Yeah, I watch your show, that Dinner, Drive-In, and Dive.
Yeah, I've seen
you
that.
You ever watch that?
Yep.
Yep. This makes me want to eat there even more now. I love a good sandwich. It might give Earl's sandwich a little bit of run for its money, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, Doug, you're right. Where Planet Hollywood has been off my radar for many years after reading this story and, you know, knowing this celebrity chef and seeing his show on TV, I'll definitely at least do a lunch there. Absolutely.
100% lunch, or maybe one of those get back from the park at, get showered and changed and head down to the Springs around 9 o'clock at night. Maybe doing late night snack down there too would be a good option for one of these sandwiches.
Yeah, what say you, John? You looking forward to this place? Or?
Yeah, sounds good. And it sounds like they, with all these celebrity chefs, the only one they're missing is Anthony Bourdain and what's his name? The other guy, the British guy. But that's the only two celebrity chefs I think that aren't working with Disney out there now, aren't they?
Oh, you got Rachel Ray and Giada De Laurentiis. I could see one of them. We got to get some of the women chefs back in here, especially since what's-her-face left.
Pat Cora left.
Pat Cora. I mean, she's still a part of the family.
Yeah, she.
They're saying she's going to be coming up somewhere else again, but we haven't heard anything.
Yeah, because she. I'm pretty sure I saw her on the list of chefs coming for Food and Wine, so she's obviously still has a working relationship with Disney. Just didn't work out with I was going to say Spoodles, whatever the name of her restaurant was.
the other one that I would love to see down there, but he don't kind of have the Disney attitude, is Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
He don't fit the attitude, but I would love to. His restaurants are phenomenal, and I just like the attitude. I don't like his attitude with the yelling, the screaming, which I would never do that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
I don't believe in that kind of, talking to people. No, but I just like the idea of is he calls it like it is.
Yeah.
There's no sugarcoating with that man, and it cracks me up. He's a little harsh, but, every once in a while, somebody does need to be called a donkey.
if you're a donkey, you're a donkey. And you're absolutely right, Doug, and I totally agree with that. But and I'm sure you've seen this. I mean, the original show that he did, I mean, it was over the top for
absolutely
on purpose to make it interesting.
Hell's Kitchen.
But, yes, and I used to love that show. It was funny watching him berate the different chefs, and it was funny, and it was entertaining. But if you've seen some of his other shows, he can be very,
absolutely.
Still a little on the, probably, like you said.
Rough side.
Right, but he can be kind of, you know, a little more.
He is a nice guy at heart. Yeah. He's a very nice guy. That's what a lot of his shows are about. They're all helping people get into the culinary. Right. But the one I love is, like, the Hell's Kitchen gets on my nerves a little bit, just watching some of the people that shouldn't be doing cooking doing it. But because it gives me a bad feeling about eating out sometimes.
Yeah.
But the Master Chef I love. You guys ever watch MasterChef on Wednesday nights?
Yeah.
I've seen a couple episodes, yeah.
Now, I love that show. I just like to see the home cooks cook. I love to learn. As I, you know, everybody knows I love to cook. So that's me and Brenda's favorite show. And what I like about it, though, is when something's bad, he don't say it's good.
Right.
He don't cut corners. What were you thinking? And I like that attitude. That's more of a Northeast kind of attitude.
Right.
You know, instead of sugarcoating it. Well, the concept was okay, but it could have... No, it was bad, man.
Right.
And I like that attitude, but I would like to see him. The other one I wouldn't mind seeing down there would be Bobby Flay.
Yeah, another good one.
You know, there's a few still out there, but there ain't many women chefs on property. We got to change that, then.
Yeah. I mean, boy, there's been an awful lot of additions the last 18 months, I'm going to say. I don't know if there's any more room for any more chefs, but, you know.
Keep them coming. I got my feed bag on.
Yeah. It is awesome, though, that, you know, now in one centrally located place, instead of you going to all these, because some of these restaurants for these celebrity chefs are, you know, either in New York or California or
Vegas.
You know, elsewhere, right, where you'd
Vegas,
have to travel. Here, you can go to one location and, you know, get to sample, you know, whether it's Morimoto or one of the others, all those great, you know, chefs, you can experience their cuisine right there at Walt Disney World.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. I got, like I said, I'm going to not eat a month before I go.
Yeah. Let's see here. Toomey at Disney Springs Town Center. Yeah, they got pictures of this new premium travel store called Toomey. Recently opened in the town center at Disney Springs. It's located near the new Anthropology store in the middle of the town center. Toomey carries a range of travel and business and lifestyle bags, accessories, and luggage. Expect premium pricing to go along with the high-end products on offer, with most luggage costing between $400 and $1,000 and bags around $200 to $500. So, if you lose your luggage at the airport, you can stop here to pick up a bag for your trip home.
We just talked to our friends over at The Happiest Vlog on Earth. That episode's going to be coming out this week. And they did a segment of what's in your bag. We did a segment about what's in your bag to give people tips on about going to the parks and what you should have with you. And everybody knows I have my Animal Kingdom backpack. But if you bought a bag here and somebody asked what's in your bag, I'd tell them nothing because I can't afford anything else after I bought this bag.
Right. Yeah, looking at some of these pictures, I mean, beautiful stuff. A lot of it's leather, and rightfully so. But I'll go in and look, but I don't see me buying something here.
I'll tell you what, I'm not bringing a drink in with me because I'm not buying it if I spilled it.
Right. But it's just awesome to have another store, right?
Absolutely. It's nice to look, browse, and say, do I eat at the boathouse tonight, or do I buy this bag?
Right. Yeah. One more day at Disney World, or buy this bag.
Heck with it. I'm having over yakking yet.
There you go. Let's see here. More details for tomorrow's inaugural Photo Pass Day at Walt Disney World. Let's see if this passed already. This already happened. So at Walt Disney World, they were celebrating Photo Pass Day this past Friday with special character appearances and complimentary photo pass images. Complimentary. You could have went at the Animal Kingdom and got a picture at Festival of the Lion King entrance, over at the studios at Echo Lake, at Epcot, under Spaceship Earth, Magic Kingdom, the Purple Wall in Tomorrowland between Tomorrowland Terrace Restaurant and Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, and near the fountain that's in front of Cinderella's Castle on the right side viewed from Main Street, and then, of course, down at Disney Springs at the Marketplace near the Pearl Factory. You got your picture taken by a Disney PhotoPass photographer at each of the designed challenge locations. And then once you stop by all of the locations, you visited a Disney PhotoPass sales center and you claimed a Disney PhotoPass photo. Wow, a lot of work to get a photo. Oof. At the Walt Disney World Resort, participants received a voucher for one Disney PhotoPass download. Photos taken at the challenge locations were not complimentary, and they were watermarked until purchased. So a little bit of detail just so you know what this. So your photo with Tinkerbell in Town Square, Partner's statue in front of Cinderella's castle, Pirate's Mass in Adventureland next to Pirates of the Caribbean, in front of Splash Mountain in Frontierland, and at Gaston's Fountain in Fantasyland. The Disney Photo Pass Sales Center at the Town Square Theater. And then at Epcot, any Disney character photo in Epcot character spot. So you could have chosen France Pavilion, Japan, Germany, or Norway. Then you went to the Disney Photo Pass Sales Center at the Camera Center in Future World. Over at the studios, you had your choice of the Chinese Theater. Photo can be taken anywhere on Hollywood Boulevard. And yeah, when you walk into the studios, we've all seen it. They usually have photo pass photographers every, 5 or 10 feet. They have one all the way up to and in front of the Chinese Theater.
Yeah, remember you see it there early in the morning, yep. Or you get at the Animal Kingdom early in the morning, you'd see like 10 of the photographers standing there waiting to grab people.
Yep, yeah. It is a good picture, though. I hate doing that because I usually want to get to where I'm going, but I always, when I get back home, I'm glad I did it the times that we have because, you know, the lighting is usually pretty good that time of the morning and the traffic is, you know, not as heavy as it is later in the day, so it is a great time for a photo op. Photo with Mickey and Minnie starring Red Carpet Dreams, Pixar Arch over Pixar Place, photo with Chewbacca and Kylo Ren in Star Wars Launch Bay, and then, of course, your photo on Sunset Boulevard with Tower of Terror in the backdrop and all that stuff. And then, of course, over at the Disney's Animal Kingdom, you can get your choice of in front of the Tree of Life, photo with Mickey and Minnie at Adventurer's Outpost, Fossils Fun Games in Dinoland USA, and the Africa Bridge. That's the one I think you were talking about, Doug, where you generally see a lot of photo pass photographers.
Absolutely. I've taken my picture there quite a few times.
Yeah. Special character experiences at Magic Kingdom Park and Epcot. There will be a special character experience at Magic Kingdom Park and Epcot where Disney photo pass photographers will capture your encounter with Pinocchio, Gideon, and Farrell Fellow in Storybook Circus from 9 to 4. This was on that Friday the 19th as well. Then over at Epcot, you could have got your photo with, who is it here, Mushu and Mulan in the China Pavilion, Snow White and Dopey in the Germany Pavilion, Queen of Hearts, who will join Alice in the United Kingdom Pavilion. Check the My Disney Experience app for times, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, wow, this was a pretty awesome day where I guess they're promoting the PhotoPass product and getting people used to it and, showing them locations where the photographers are so that hopefully you, get this or use this service on future trips.
I mean, it's nice that they're giving some things out here and there again.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, I think it's more like, giving you a little bit of something for free, which you're right, it is good. But, it's an investment and hopefully getting people to, buy it.
It's kind of like you talked about when you got the free trip, Dan. It ended up not being free because now you bought it every single time after
I'm down
that.
About a quarter of a million now.
Exactly.
With DVC and all the trips I've taken.
Exactly. That one free one cost you a lifetime of paying, but you enjoy it.
Do.
But the point is they're this is a nice thing, but they're hoping that now you'll do PhotoPass every time you come down.
Yeah. And like I said, the time you booked me Memory Maker there, we really enjoyed that, and that's a great product. Not for every guest, every trip, but if you want to photo document a trip, the Memory Maker is an awesome package.
Absolutely it is. It's worth the money if you want to make sure that you don't miss any family moment.
Right. Like I think we said at the time, if you were doing maybe a family reunion or some special, occasion, that's in my mind, that's the time to do it. Just a trip with maybe you and your wife or something, probably not the right option.
Unless it's your anniversary or something like that, something special. Yeah. But if you're going down on a big family reunion and everybody's hooked up to your Disney experience, this way you'll get probably, 20, 30 pictures when you get home that you didn't realize were on there.
Yep.
That'll be a surprise for you.
Yeah, everyone can see each other's pictures in real time, and you can peruse the app and see where, the rest of your traveling party is, and it's a great way to, you know, chronologically go through your Disney trip. And then when you get home or back at the resort at night, you can look at the day's events or the week-long events. And it is. It's really awesome the way they lay it out. And it's by day, you know, by day and by park for that matter. And it's just, it's awesome.
Yeah, I recommend it. I highly recommend it for big family gatherings.
Yep. Let's see. Next story here. FCC testing process reveals new type of magic band.
But it isn't a band.
Yeah, oddly enough. Disney's next generation of magic band has been revealed as part of the standard FCC testing process. Named modeled MBR1G2. The original as MBR1G1, the band differs significantly from the first in that it does not appear to have a strap. It may be that Disney is planning to offer
strap. And then it's not a band.
Right. False advertisement. It may be that Disney is planning to offer straps separately from the main body of the Magic Band, which can then be attached, much like the Apple Watch. This would allow guests to change the look of the band without having to dispose of the electronics and re-register the new band in the My Disney Experience app. The design also allows for other attachment options, such as lanyards or bell clips. Although it isn't clear if this is something that Disney will be pursuing, like the original, the new model of the Magic Band has been developed by Synapse and includes a 2.4 GHz radio along with a passive HF RFID tag radio. The original FCC filing was placed in May 2016 and has just been declassified by the FCC. So, basically this thing is a round object. They show two colors here.
It looks like a rubber rock.
Yeah.
Looks like a very small hockey puck, right?
So,
yeah, exactly.
And I think we said this, and I know I remember you I won't say complaining, you discussing this, Doug, but, you know, it was kind of crazy for those. We were saying, gee, we get all these magic bands every time we go, and why can't we reuse them? And I think Disney has a program where they recycle old magic bands now, but it almost seems like with this particular one that it seems like it will last longer, so maybe you can use it trip to trip without re-registering it or something like that. So it may be an advantage in not only from the technology perspective, but also from the just sheer volume of disposed or discarded magic bands in general.
Now, it was Mike Rahman that was complaining about it because he said he don't have room in his studio.
Yeah.
See, I love them. It has my name on it, just like I talked about on this other show with me finding my old room key.
Yep.
I love all this. Give me 1,000 of them. I'll just keep putting them in here. You know, I like the idea because it's every trip. I like the idea that because when I like it because you get the box in the mail.
Yeah.
There's nothing like getting your new band. Even if you have 50 of them, getting 51 is awesome to me.
Yeah.
It's just another – it's something I feel – I know I'm paying for it, but you feel like it's free. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it gets you pumped for your vacation. When that thing comes in, what is usually 4 or 5 weeks before
– Yeah, and it's in a really nice box. You feel special when you get it.
Yeah. In fact,
I'm – Davis family on it, or you know what I'm saying. Yeah. I do like the idea of this in a way, like, but the thing of it is, does the band bother you guys at all? I think the band's perfect.
I like the band. I mean, you know, at first I didn't like it only because I didn't like change. I liked the, the old paper system, all
but
that.
As soon as I went to get in my room and I had my luggage in my hand and all I had to do was lift my arm up and get in the room, I was a happy kid with the band.
I don't mind that. You know, the technology or whatever, and, you know, I really don't mind getting the bands. In fact, I was just going to say, I have a ongoing chain of them, and I just counted them, and there's, I have 28 magic bands of all different colors, and I have it kind of hung. I put a couple of S-hooks in my ceiling in my office, and I just keep adding to it each and every time. My daughter, when she went down last time to Disney World, she bought my wife and I each our own one of those specialized magic bands. So I got one of the black and white Steamboat Willie magic bands.
Awesome.
So, yeah, she just downloaded, you know, linked them up or whatever on My Disney Experience. So I won't be collecting. Well, I guess I will, right? Because I'll still get the other magic
free,
band.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because they added colors. Like, this year they added purple.
Oh, yeah, the elusive purple magic band.
But I'm just saying, like, my mother-in-law loves that. That's her favorite color, so that'll go on the loop when I get it in here.
Yep.
But the point of it is I like the idea of it. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I get them wanting to improve technology, but why would you want to have to have the, like, I'm thinking of my guests now. So now I got to think, I'm going to give them this rock or hockey puck, and now I'm going to tell them you buy bands for it. You understand what I'm saying? Or you can keep it in your pocket. So if it's in your pocket, it's the same as having the room case.
Right, right.
Or you could buy a lanyard, or you could put it on your belt loop. But you got to buy that separately. It's just, I get it in a way, like the lanyard might be cool, but isn't the lanyard going to be cumbersome swinging all over the place? It's like, I don't get it. The magic, sometimes when thing is perfect, just leave it alone.
Yeah, that's true. Well, in fairness, though, I mean, this is really in its infancy, this story. I mean, maybe it's going to come in a band, or the band comes with the purchase. I mean, who knows what device will hold it.
Yeah, I can just see you now. It's on your belt loop. You don't get it off, so now you're putting your butt up.
Yeah,
to the scanner.
Are you swimming? And, you know, is it waterproof? Who knows?
Yeah, they will be, but you know what I'm saying. Or the lanyard, it's going to swing, and it's like everybody's going to want to do everything different.
Yeah.
It's just, again, hello, yes, how are you guys doing? Yeah, you're what kind of band do you want? Do you want the regular band? Do you want the lanyard band? Do you want the belt loop band? It's just another thing I got to – and then I got to sit there with the parents and the two kids. Well, I want the regular band. No, I want the lanyard. No, I want – it turns into a 20-minute discussion or a half hour. And then when they show up, the one brother wants the same band as the other brother that he didn't get to begin with. So now it's a problem. It's just I could just see it coming.
Yeah, but my guess is, thinking back on the story that I just read, it comes with a you know, some sort of radio feature in there, gigahertz or whatever it mentioned. You know, so it, my guess is there's technology that this thing can do that the Magic Band cannot. So if you want to be able to use all of the new technology that's coming to the, you know.
But I just said they could put it in a brand new band.
Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe the footprint isn't big enough to carry. I don't know. I'm just guessing. They changed the shape of it for a reason. You know, maybe it just needs to hold more stuff, electronics or whatever it is, in order to do it. I mean, I don't know.
Doug goes back to where Doug always goes. This is a way for them to charge you for 15 different extra attachments.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And I'm not trying to be mean, but again, it's like some things. Some things need to be streamlined, and I get, like I'm saying, if it does come out the way it's showing here now, I could just see aggravation.
Right, but in all fairness, they have that for the Magic Bands now. You can get the special watch feature. You get the little dangles. They got all kinds of charts.
But that's all extra. It ain't like what you can order through Disney. What I'm saying is, when I put this when I book your trip, then your say your daughter Samantha is 10 years old at the time, and she wants the lanyard today. 8 months from now, when the lanyard comes in, all the kids at school said the one that hooks on your clip is the cool one. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? It's, the kids, people change their mind. The other way, I understand you could, the color would be a problem. They might want it blue because her and her boyfriend broke up and green was their color, so now I want the blue band. But
I think you're thinking way too much.
you understand what I'm saying? It's just like, it's just more decisions if you follow me.
Decisions
that's all
are
I'm
good.
Saying.
Choice is good.
Too many are bad. You know, you go into a restaurant, we talked about it. If the menu have 75 choices, I know they can't do 75 things.
All right, in Doug's Disney World, everyone gets gray and you're going to like it.
No, I'm not saying gray, but enough is enough. I'm watching a kid put a band on now on a YouTube video. He's very happy.
Okay.
Go ahead, next.
Disney planning a new look for the wedding pavilion. Disney's wedding pavilion will have a brand new interior look in 2017. They have a rendering here, not that you guys can see, but it looks like a church with white pews and beautiful chandeliers in it. But anyways, the rendering offers a first look at the new interior. According to Disney, the new decor will feature an elegant neutral color palette and shimmering crystal chandeliers. Brand new furnishings, wall coverings, and carpeting round out the enhancements and bring new life into the interior. More details will be unveiled mid-January 2017. Located on the shores of the Seven Seas Lagoon near Disney's Grand Floridian Resort, the wedding pavilion accommodates up to 250 guests, complete with leaded arched windows behind the altar, giving views of Cinderella's castle. Looks pretty awesome to me.
It looks beautiful. You might be seeing it next year, then. You probably will
be. Yeah, that's. I was just going to say, not that I'll ever see the inside of it, but
Hey, you probably are going to see the inside of it next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll renew my vows for my 20th anniversary or something.
There you go. I want to pay for one of the bulbs in them chandeliers with my little contribution.
Hey, you're pretty much paid for everything else on property. Yeah. You might as well start adding to the wedding fund.
Yeah, there you go.
That's about the only thing you haven't put money towards yet. It's the only thing I haven't.
Yep. You're right. All right. Let's see. Next thing. PhotoPass Day. Well, we just read this. What am I doing?
Yep. It's okay. We're used to that then.
Do they have a double listed here? Or did I...
Yeah, they do because they updated. The one was from five days ago. The other one was when they posted it when they had it.
So I read it in sequence. It's just a double story. Yep.
They have two of them in the same story.
James Cameron added to D23 event to talk Pandora, the world of Avatar. We haven't heard much about this in a while. With everything else going on, this has kind of just been setting in the background. But the official D23 Disney fan club has added more talent to its upcoming D23 Destination D Amazing Adventures event coming to Walt Disney World later this year. Avatar creators James Cameron, writer, director, producer, and John Landau, producer, will join Imagineer Joe Rohde for Pandora, the World of Avatar, a presentation where they will unveil new details about the 12-acre land opening in 2017 at Disney's Animal Kingdom. It kills me that he's same pictures here. The event takes place November 19th and 20th, 2016, at Disney's Contemporary Resort, with tickets costing between $190 and $250, depending on D23 membership level. In addition, the event will include a conversation with Bob Chapek, chairman of the Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, plus Mona screenwriter Jared Bush, co-writer, co-director Zootopia, will be on hand to provide guests an exclusive advanced look at the making of the Walt Disney Animation Studios' newest animated feature. Cameron, Landau, and Chapek will join previously announced Disney legends Marty Sklar and Tony Baxter, Walt Disney Imagineers Rohde, Chris Merritt, Jason Grant, and Wyatt Winter, producer Don Hahn, The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, the Walt Disney Archives director Becky Klein. The event exclusively for members of D23, the official Disney fan club, celebrates landmarks of the past, present, and future, from the Jungle Cruise and Pirates of the Caribbean to the Planet of Pandora. The Walt Disney Archives will present a special exhibit created exclusively for the event, Walt's Great Adventures, featuring photographs, props, and models that showcase Walt Disney's personal voyages, including his trip to South America in 1941, as well as some of the most memorable creations for television, film, and theme parks, such as 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Additionally, during the weekend, guests will be among the first to see the new Ethan Allen Disney Home Furnishing line in person.
Oh, you get to buy a couch.
Or a coffee table.
Yeah, exactly.
Additional D23 Destination D Amazing Adventures presentations announced include Welcome to Adventureland, set off on a journey through Adventurelands at Disney parks around the world, beginning with a rare look at artist Hopper Goff's exotic concepts for Disneyland and Walt Disney World.
Dennis would be like, if there's anything here about Shanghai, I don't care.
I don't. In fact, I won't even read it if it's in the story. Tales from the Jungle Cruise fans, the backside of water, unite. Discover the legendary history of the world-famous attraction with a panel of wisecracking experts, including a behind-the-scenes look at the recent holiday overlays and the new Jungle Navigation Company Skipper Canteen at Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. And then Disney's Polynesian Village Resort's 45th anniversary, from tropical hideaways to enhancing entertainment, celebrate the spirit of Aloha as D23 looks back at 45 years of the classic South Pacific-themed getaway. The weekend event will take place in the Convention Center at Disney's Contemporary Resort. Tickets currently on sale are $190 for D23 Gold and Gold family members. Tickets are also available to D23 general members for $250 per ticket. All guests will receive a special gift created exclusively for the event, and the attendees are guaranteed seats at all the panels and presentations. Mickey's of Glendale, the famed Walt Disney World Imagineering store, returns with a pop-up shop at the event for attendees, featuring a selection of exclusive Walt Disney Imagineering merchandise as well as limited edition pins, apparel, and collectibles themed to the event. If you want to find out more about all this stuff, you can go to d23.com/events.
Now, I think this is great for D23 members. Like, I like that they're doing something for them. But I just don't think, as a member, you should be charged $200 for this. I think it's a lot, and $260 if you're not a gold member. I mean, don't you think it's a lot of money? Like, you're already a member. You're paying every year to be a member. Like, don't you think they give you something for being a member, maybe one of the shows?
Yeah.
Ain't that part of it? I mean, if you're a member or something, like, I joined the Moose Lodge around here, or a different club. I don't have to pay to get in the club. You're part of the American Legion. You don't pay to get in the American Legion. I could see them charging you for food, events, and stuff like that, maybe charge you to buy all the souvenirs and stuff like that, but the actual admission should be part of your membership.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of some justification for the cost. I mean, maybe to bring some of the people in.
To pay for the stars, I get it. But they got the money in their pocket to pay for Marty Sklar.
Yeah, he's on the – well, he's retired now officially, but I'm sure they pay him a stipend or something for his appearance. But it's not that much money that they're charging.
But do you get what I'm saying, John? Do you agree? Like, don't you think they should throw these events? Like, what do you basically – you get to pay to go to this as being a member.
Well, you get a pay to go to it, and then you get a pay to buy some merchandise, and you get a pay to pay some more, you know what I mean? So.
Exactly. Like, I wanted to – like, I know you're a charter member, Dan, and I stopped mine. I don't have it no more because I realize you don't get anything for it. You're paying to pay for stuff.
Yeah.
I almost said a dirty word
you did.
On this show.
Yeah.
Well, I almost did. I didn't get it out, but I almost did.
I totally agree with you. I mean, part of it, you're paying for the exclusivity of you know, seeing some of this stuff. I mean, I can only relate it to things that I've done before. Like, give you an example. I told you when I used to be in the pins, I used to go to the pin events every year. And there was a charge with that. Like, it was, you know, $75 or something. And all it was to give me access to get in the venue to then spend my money on more stuff, if you know what I mean. Like, was
exactly
no,
like, if you saved that $75, you could have waited and got on eBay and probably bought every pin that you let in early to see.
But you know how it is when you're into something. Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
You know, you be having access or being able to purchase that limited edition, you know, there's only 10 of them. That's really what you're paying for. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying
it
is.
No, I've been there. I used to belong to, and I got out of that too. There was an RCC club. It was RCCA club. It was a NASCAR club, and it was the same thing. What they would do is sell items that were only sold through RCAA, but then they would sell the identical thing, but it didn't say RCAA on it. And me and Mike were in it. We paid our $60 membership like geeks. We had the card in our wallet. And you could only buy a lot of it on QVC, too. You had to be a member of QVC to get it. But it got to the point where I realized these cars are worth – it came to the point where less people wanted them cars.
Right.
Then you're thinking they're going to be exclusive and worth more. They were worth less at the end of the day.
Right.
Because they were made just for them, and then they discontinued them. It just – I don't get it. Like, I joined D23 because I wanted to get the book.
The original book
and all that. Yeah, well, that was I got the book, but really, since that, I haven't got nothing came that was really cool that I couldn't find online.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the fact of being a member of the club that you just feel good being a member. You know,
I'm not saying
it's right or wrong; it's just what it is. You know.
But what like, and I know you still are a member, aren't you? Did you ever give it up?
No, I my daughter and son got me the membership. I think I got it the first year, and then every Christmas they've been as my guests.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
so
it's
kind of
like an annual thing
awesome.
That they just get for me. Probably, to be honest, Doug, if it was just left up to me, I probably would have got rid of it.
Exactly. It means twice as much as the kids think. Because it's something you love, so they're doing it for you. So if Brendan, Mom, or somebody did that for me, I'd be tickled pink about it. I'd be geeked up about it because they know – what it would make me happy about is they know what I love, so they're doing it. Like when I get my gift cards, that's why I'm so happy, because they know they're getting me something that I love. They know me.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And you know, all the things that I just read off, like, I find a lot of them interesting because I love Disney history and I love hearing the stories and how it all tied to Walt. But even if we were traveling down there for the week or the couple of days that this is, or the weekend or whatever it is, I mean, you know, my family's not into it as much as I am, so I couldn't, you know, get them to go with me, or I would feel guilty, you know, saying, oh, you guys take off and I'm going to sit in this lecture hall all day long and listen to Marty Scalar or, you know, whoever's given these presentations. It's not something that they would do. So even if I wanted to do any of these and I would shell out the money, I really don't have the time to do it because it's all down in Florida, too.
Yeah, well, that would be one of those things that we talk about if we move down there and our buddy John's there. Maybe we'd be members just to do this stuff together.
It'd be a cool weekend.
Some the three of us could do together, and the wives could stay home at our pool at the house. You know, and that would be fun because, you know, I don't know if your wife, John, would she want to hang out there?
No,
all
she would rather be at the parks and hanging out at the parks than
so would Brenda.
Listen to them guys talk. So, no, I'd get a kick out of it. It'd be fun, but like you said, it would be a lot more fun with a couple of other like-minded people, you know what I mean?
Right. So.
Yeah, Brenda, I don't know if she'd want to do that the whole time. I mean, if it was something about animation, she'd probably be into it because she loves to draw. But the actual listening to how Walt went and discovered the Jungle Cruise and all, she heard that story, and hearing it told a different way wouldn't really get heard. With me, I'd be geeked out hearing it 20 times. But my whole issue with this is what are you actually, besides some tchotchkes that they send you, like you get... They've given you not one show for free since you've been a member, have they? All they do is give you access to pay for a show.
Yeah, I think I went to one in downtown Boston, and I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was free. It was actually Don Hahn, who I mentioned in the story. He did he did something fairly recently, but we had to, you know, take public transportation into the city, and it was very good, I must say. It was at the public library,
cool.
And that was the only thing that was ever in my area that I can recall in the 10 years that I've had it or whatever. But, you know, was it worth all the money that I've paid or my family's paid, I guess, not me personally? Definitely not, but, you know.
If I live locally, Dan, and there was more... Like, if there was a lot of events, like I don't hear about it all the time, so I could be wrong. But in my opinion, like, Disney should throw little snack parties or odds and ends for locals that are D23 members. Like, I don't hear anything that they do besides have these pressers, if you follow me. And basically what it's doing is advertisement for the company.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a program is for the people that drink the Kool-Aid and Disney can do no wrong.
Dude,
that's what it's for, and there's no doubt about it.
It's like, you know, it would be like being it's like having a wine tasting club that they charge you to come in and pay the drink, and then they charge you at the bar to drink all the wine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of one of those deals.
It's not for everyone, that's for sure. Calendar update for Disney's Animal Kingdom sees longer nighttime operating hours throughout September. Remember we mentioned this in the story that they cut the hours down, and it looks like they're bringing them back. But despite Disney's recent announcement that The Jungle Book, Alive with the Magic, will be coming to an end on September 5th, the park will continue to offer extended nighttime hours. The calendar has now been updated for dates through September 6th. The park will be closing at 9 p.m. Hours have not yet been updated for October and beyond. Kilimanjaro Night Safaris, Harambe Party, Discovery Island Carnival, and the Tree of Life Awakenings will continue to be available throughout the after dark hours. Disney continues to work on Rivers of Light, which is expected to open in the fall of 2016. So...
keep saying it. I'm thank God none of us held our breath, Dan.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked it's not open yet, but
I'm seriously think it has, and this is just me, and I'm an idiot from New Jersey, but I still think it has something to do with all the hush and all the trouble that they caused all the years about flying over the parks. And if they're going to have drones in this show, I think the state might be giving them a little bit of pushback about the drones. So why do you want special preferences for you to fly stuff above the park, but nobody else can? You understand what I'm saying? I think it has something to do with more of red tape than it does anything to do with the show.
Yeah, I mean,
somehow I think there's something going on where they're having problems with certain permits for some way somehow, but I could be wrong. What do you think, John?
I think that's probably what it is. That's what I've heard other people speculating the same type of stuff, and I think they're having trouble because I had heard that they were debating whether or not to actually fly the drones over the crowd. So that, you know, I mean, them things only, probably the ones they're using probably only weigh what, 5 or 6 pounds, but still, if that's a couple hundred feet in the air and it crashes, it's not gonna feel good.
Absolutely. And they filed for all these permits to be able to fly them in the no fly zone. See, because Disney has a no fly zone over the parks. So why are you gonna, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's always this red tape where, you know, when government gets involved, it could get very long and costly, and I'm sure maybe there's a bug in their, you know, a stone in their shoe, and they're saying no, we're gonna fight you on this. Who knows?
Yeah, it's,
but that's just my speculation. There's something going on with permits somewhere.
Hopefully they'll open soon, and this will all be just noise. But we shall see.
Yeah, because I can't wait for that in Avatar Land.
Yeah, well, it says fall of 2016, so what we got?
Well, I think they're both going to open at the same time.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
2017.
Let's hope it's not that long, but who knows? That's all I got for this week. Do any of you guys have something to add?
John, you got a ton of news.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I got a couple things here, then, before we end this wonderful podcast.
Okay.
But did you guys hear about the Yesteryear's Vintage Collection coming to by Disney Parks?
No. What's that all about?
It's pretty cool. They have a Yesteryear's Vintage Apparel Collection coming to Disney Parks online stores, and it became available on August 18th. And what it is it's on the online store, and you can order all kind of shirts and apparel from the past. Like, they have a Walt Disney World Preview Center shirt. From when, like, the parks originally opened, which is pretty cool. And then they have I first visited Walt Disney World Resort in 1983. They have Dreamfinder and Figment shirts. They got all different kind of shirts from the past, which I think is pretty cool. They got, like, a T-shirt from Extraterrestrial Alien Encounter. They have T-shirts and apparel from. So anything you want from Yesteryear, you can get on Disney Park Store online and order this stuff. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Some of them things, I'm going to check that out. I love the old-time attractions, and maybe I can pick up a Maelstrom shirt there.
Yeah. Yeah, it says Richard also designed the Raglan and artwork from Walt Disney World Preview Center advertisement. The center was open from January 10th, 1970 until September 30th, 1971, and you could buy these T-shirts that they were actually selling there at the time.
How great is that? Disney's finding a way to even make money off of things they don't even have anymore.
Yeah, we're going to go out and buy one. They know. But this is the stuff I love. I love that they have different options besides Disney Resorts T-shirts.
Right, right. Oh, I totally agree. I'm definitely going to. Now, this, it's live and working. You can go on there right now.
Yeah, it's up right now.
I'm going to check it out later.
No, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm going to go on there. You can find the link on the Disney Parks blog.
Awesome.
So. And there's a couple other stories over here at the Disney Parks blog. It has all, there's the whole food and wine lineup, which we've gone over before. They got you know, all the entertainers that are going to be live during the parks if you want to go there. You know, they have the other thing I wanted to mention is, if you guys ever thought about doing this, because I have, even though it should be Disney Moms and Dads panel, the Disney Parks Mom panel search for new panels begins September 7th. You ever thought about doing this, either one of you
guys?
Yeah,
I did back when it first started, and I actually had a buddy of mine that I met going down to the podcast weekends, and he was the first male to be accepted onto the moms panel. Yes, I did, but to get on there, it's a grueling process. It's very competitive, and you got to do a phone interview, write an essay, and then be interviewed ultimately again before you're accepted. And I'm pretty sure I think he failed the first year he went for, and then the second year he's accepted. But you're right, Doug. Obviously, the title in itself, it originally was moms, only women that were on the panel, but now it's men and women. And but yeah, I always, because at the time I was working at the Disney store and I knew a lot about it, I owned DVC, and they if you've ever gone on the moms panel website, they have,
yeah,
they have different areas of expertise. Like if you're a big, you know, if you're knowledgeable about the cruise line or, you know, a particular part of the Disney company, you can be kind of a quote unquote expert on that, in that sector. But like somebody like yourself being a TA, I mean, you have a good rounded knowledge of pretty much everything at Disney. So you could probably be on any one of those panels and be, you know, be knowledgeable. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, yeah, I thought about it, but, you know, ultimately I didn't have the time to do it, to be honest, with between doing podcasts and working two jobs. I just didn't have the time to put into it.
No, I hear you. I thought about the same thing myself about doing it. So, I mean, the only thing held me back then was the essay.
Yeah.
I'm just that's an inside joke. Dennis and my wife, man, I feel like I'm in school every time I write something, neither one of them, with the punctuation. I mean, the spelling. I mean, it's bad enough I get it from the one Pisces I'm married to. Now my online wife, he gives it to me all the time, too.
Yeah, I filled out the application and applied for it one time, but that's as far as it got. So,
did you get a rejection letter, John?
Yeah, pretty much.
What did they reject
you for? They didn't say. It just was not at this time.
See, I'd have had to write back. Why?
You're not what we're looking for.
I want to know. But yeah, you should try to reapply, John. You could be our new Disney Moms panel.
I don't know. Like you said, it's highly competitive. I think there's thousands and thousands of people that go out for it, so...
Well, if you tell them you're a part of the Main Street podcast, they might really take
that'd get me in, huh?
Well,
yeah, it might.
And there is some benefit to it in that I know my buddy Mark, when he got on the panel, there's a weekend or a couple of times a year, they fly you down there, put you up in one of the hotels, and that you go to a seminar during the day, and they let you in on some of the company's new things coming out so that you're knowledgeable. And so, you know, not only do you answer questions on their website, but you actually do get some actual benefit from Disney, and that you get a trip or two, free trip down to Disney World.
So, John, that's a long trip for you. You should
pay my tolls to get over there.
So.
No, but they'll put you up in the room.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah, I still thought about it as the same thing. With me with work and this show and keeping you two knuckleheads in line, you know, it's enough already.
Yeah, it's a time thing, you know. But it'd be cool. I mean, when you look at it, there's only a, you know, couple hundred people that have ever been on the panel, and it's something to be proud of if you do make it. You know, it's a big deal. Within the Disney community, that is, it's a big deal in the real
world. Well, the thing of it is God only knows how much we love to talk Disney. There's nothing the guys on my job site, I can't, if one of them brings it up, it's like they look at me like, man, I shouldn't have said more.
Here he goes again.
It's just, I love, that's like the whole reason to TA. Like, I love booking other places, but there's nowhere near as much as when they ask me, should I stay at the Wilderness Lodge or the Animal Kingdom?
Right.
I could give them a million reasons for both. And that's what I love about doing it. I love to help people. And when they come back and tell me, thank you, there's nothing better than that. So that's one of the reasons why I thought about doing it again. And I'll get Brendan and Dennis to write my essay.
He's going to see.
John, you could write yours. You love to write. There you go. It's a reason to write another article.
Oh, okay.
Now we just got to get you writing on the website again, if that's all possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. See that? How the show comes to a pitching stall as soon as the website's mentioned.
It Skype's down again. Hello?
Thanks, Dan. You troublemaker. But no, guys, this has been a lot of fun. We got another review from our buddy Sean over on iTunes, and he said he just discovered the show, and he really likes it, and he can't wait to watch our other episodes, and he loved the Untouchable segment, guys, so we got to do more of them.
Yeah, that was an awesome show, and looking forward to doing more, and thank you for the great review, Sean.
Yeah, after Sean, it says, woo, woo! So thanks for finding us, Sean. I hope you really like our show. And there's plenty more. You got a lot of back episodes to listen to. I'm sorry you got to listen to all.
Take it in small doses, Sean.
Yes, a little bit of us goes a long way. No, but guys, we really appreciate you listening. If you please could do what Sean did and go over and leave us a review, it helps us out on the search engine, so we'd really, really appreciate it. You can follow us all at Twitter. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow John at Beer Solo and me at good old Grumpy 6767. Yeah, and you can follow us all at WDW Main Street if you want to see John's picture of the day, that handsome devil, the pictures he puts
up. Oh, yeah.
You added some serious class to our site.
No.
I got to thank you for that. So, but if you guys could please follow us on all social media, follow us over at Facebook at WDW Main Street. And thanks again, guys, for listening. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Thank you.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.